Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, baby, you have your asshole licked by a fat man in an overcoat?
I'm bigger than you, I'm higher in the food chain. Get in my belly!
Now live and on air with your hosts, Seth and Jerry on the Two Fat Guys and the Internet Show. Greetings, greetings, greetings everyone out there in internet land, la la land, listening in on your phones, whatnot. You're listening to the Two Fat Guys in the Internet radio show, coming to you live every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Today is Tuesday, May 27th, 2014. If you're listening in, we have a guest tonight who's going to be talking about some awesome stuff. If you want to call in and ask him some questions, you can always call in toll free, 855-345-4724. As always, I am your host, Seth. My buddy Jerry, who is at work tonight, so he will not be on the show, but we do have a special guest host. He's been on the show before. We call him Pony Boy, but Ian, how's it going?
It's going great, man. It's going great.
Yep. So you came on, well, about 2 months ago, a month and a half, 2 months ago, I put out some feelers for some guests to come on the show, and you gave me about four or five names.
I think it was four, yep.
And one of them happened to be a gentleman who works with a lot of AK-47, AK-74, you know, the Soviet rifle over there, Rob Ski. So I put out some feelers to him, and he messaged me back. He was pretty busy around the time I answered him, but he said, you know, message me back around the end of May. So I did, and he's on the show tonight. Welcome, Rob.
Hey, guys. Hey, how are you today? That's Rob Ski.
We are doing excellent. I'm glad you were able to come on the show tonight, and look forward to this conversation we're going to have.
No, it's absolutely the pleasure is on my side, guys, and you know, I'm happy to be with you, and let's talk some AKs now.
you love that AK-47, but how did you tell us a little bit about you and how you got involved with the AKs?
Basically, I was, as some of you may know, I was born and raised under the communism. So you may say that I have AK DNA in my blood. And I received my first AK, you know, I was born with AK in my hand, of course. But then at age seven, I remember this to this day, my grandfather bring me a toy. He went to the East Germany on the business, not the business trip, but like a work trip, and he bring me an AK toy. It was a beautiful AK toy rifle, and from that moment, that was it. I fall in love with that rifle, and I knew it that I had to keep working with the AK. So of course, at that time, you know, everyone had to go to the army. And when I was the infantryman, I received the military training in Poland, and I was an infantryman there. My grandfather was an infantryman. So again, you know, I was working with the AKs, and it's a great rifle. And I think if you will look at the map of the world where that rifle was used and how popular it is, you will see that this is an amazing weapon system. And if we'll think about it, it is in service. It's still used by Russians and many other countries since 1946, guys. So that's pretty amazing to me.
So, you know, go ahead, Ian.
Oh, no, I'll defer to you. Go ahead, Seth. Take it off.
Okay, I'm pretty sure you've fired many other firing platforms.
Yes.
Take the U.S. rifle, the M4 or M16, if you will. How would you compare that to the AK-74, AK-47?
You know, and I served, and I'm still with the U.S. Army. You know, I'm infantryman, 11 Bravo as well. So my service rifle is M4, and I like M4s. They have a very good ergonomics. But if we're talking purely about, minimal maintenance to keep the rifle running and dependability, I would go with the AK on any given day. The M4, there's nothing wrong with it. You know, a lot of people are bashing those rifles. However, you know, if you will compare basically a guts of the AK and all the working parts, and that piston system, which is, in opposition to the blowback gas system used on the M4s, you cannot go wrong. There's so little parts to clean on the AK compared to the AR or M4s. Every time I know when I pull the trigger, I know that rifle will go off. But however, as I said, I do have a respect to M4s. I know that some people are thinking, you know, that they are completely unreliable. That's not true. If you are maintaining the M4 rifle, that rifle will serve you well. However, my rifle of choice will be an AK rifle for all the, you know, oh shit situations, zombie apocalypse, whatever you guys want to believe in. I would go with AK. And, you know, just think about it. Have you seen those pictures of the Somali pirates, for example? Very often you see those AKs totally rusted out. This is because of the seawater, salt in the seawater, and yet these rifles are working. I mean, that's just amazing. You cannot go wrong. Whatever Mikhail Kalashnikov did, I mean, that was a pure genius.
Yeah, what you just mentioned about the Somali pirates, Rob, it reminds me of you posted up some pictures on the... By the way, if you don't know, it's the AK Operators Union Local 4774 Facebook page. Go ahead and give them a like. I noticed you post up some pictures probably about a month ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, of I think they were out of Northern Africa, but you posted them mostly just for laughs, and they were kind of funny, but a lot of the pictures had, you know, some of the I guess you just call them rebels, but it showed some of the setups that they had, that like duct tape magazines together. Just, you know, I mean, these AKs look like they just been pulled up out of the ground somewhere, and there they are in, you know, working fashion and going bang every time.
Yes, if you go to the Africa, you know, the level of maintenance is non-existing there. These guys, they simply don't care, you know. But yet, these AKs managed to run for them, and unfortunately, in many occasions or situations, we as Western forces, we are facing AKs. So this is what I'm saying to my colleagues, you know, from platoon or whatever, you know, it's like, guys, this is in your best interest to know that weapon system, because there is a 99% chance that at some point you're going to face that rifle. So know how to operate, know how to use it, know how to cycle the bolt and everything, how to change the magazines, because unfortunately that's the reality of the situation. You know, most of our enemies, they do run AKs.
Yeah, and also from, this side of the spectrum, you know, an American soldier versus what have you with an AK, it's good to know the weaknesses of the other rifle as well, too. Not saying, you know, nothing's perfect, so, you know, you have to recognize problems where there are problems. But actually, I'd like to ask you about that. What's your opinion on, you know, the range of the AK? We'll stick with the 74, because I know you like the 5.45
round. Yeah, the 74. I was born in 1974. I mean, come on. It has to be a 74 as my favorite clone AK. And I'll tell you, I'm extremely comfortable engaging and taking down targets with AK-74 5.45 by 39 round past 400 meters. Just a few weeks ago, just the last weekend, we were shooting at 300 meters, and I was using the AKM mostly, so that was a 7.62 round, and we were targeting a 12 by 12 inches plate with the 4.5 MOA red dot. So that red dot was covering the whole freaking target, and we still managed to cover that target and hit it. But with 74s, I think you can, you know, freely go above 400 meters. Your limitation will be your optic, because past you know, basically a 400 meters, 500 meters, really that target becomes, even the human-sized target, you know, becomes really, really small. So it depends on what kind of optic you have. But if you got the dope set on the optic and you know what you're doing, I think you can reach out to 800 meters effectively. How much damage will be done at that point by that round, that's another question and probably topic for another discussion. But at least you can cover that area, and I can guarantee when those bullets will start whizzling, you know, over your head, that the people will duck for cover.
You know, sticking with the 74, you said it fires a different round than your usual 7.62. How does that round compare to the 7.62?
The basic difference between the 5.45 and 7.62 by 39 will be the weight of the bullet and the size of the bullet. So on average, the 7.62 has got 123 grain. You know, so it's a larger bullet. You got the larger mass hitting a target compared to the 5.45, which is 53. Or now we are getting from like Red Army standard, we are getting 69 grain heavier bullet. But it's still, it's almost, you know, 50% less than what the 7.62 offers. I will tell you that the power of 7.62, you cannot deny that power. It's even a common joke. We like to say that the 7.62 will turn the cover into the concealment because of the penetration power. So you really are not covered by anything because that round can penetrate it. So you may hide, try to hide, but it's not a good cover. 5.45 has a devastating effect on the human flesh. I have seen 5.45 wounds, and it's absolutely devastating. That bullet tumbles inside the body. This is how it was designed, it creates an absolutely a carnage inside the human body. Very often you may see that someone will survive the initial shot, but because of the wounds, will pass away later on. I mean, it's a really nasty bullet. When you will get hit by 7.62, it's a great chance you may lose a limb, but it kind of goes through you. So I think in that perspective, as bad as it sounds, I think sometimes it's better to get hit by 7.62. But you know, it's still a devastating power. Both these bullets, they are very well designed rounds. And the Soviets did the outstanding job on this end.
So, in your opinion, it basically comes down to, different bullet for a different job. They both perform what
yes,
they do.
The thing is some, you know, people have to realize something too. The main advantage of the AK-74s too is that I'll give you the example. The fully loaded magazine for the AK-74 weighs 543 grams, which is like 1 pound and 3 ounces, compared to the magazine, 30 rounds, steel magazine for the AK-47, that's almost 833 grams, which is 1 pound, 13.3 ounces. That's just one magazine. So you got, you know, almost half, you know, like 33, 35% more weight when carrying the ammo for the AK-47s, AKMs, clones. So now
you're talking the same amount of magazines.
Yes. If you're going with 6, 7 magazines out on your rig, think about how much more weight you will have on you just for carrying the ammo, okay? Mm. And is it really worth it? The way how the teams are operating in Russia or in other countries which are using the AK platform is usually you have two guys with the AKMs or RPKs, and they are kind of, you know, providing, like, softening the targets at the beginning of the ambush. But then all the infantry guys, they do have standard AK-74s clones. So that's basically how this is set up. So not everyone is carrying right now the AKM. And that's mainly, you know, that was the advantage, the less weight to carry, and ask any infantryman in the world what he would like to have less to do, and they will tell you less weight to carry. Because,
definitely,
you know, weapon and bullets, that's just the one thing. Then you have, you know, you have to have your food, you have to have some water system, right? You probably have some other items, mission-dependable items, which you have to carry with you. So weight isn't always an issue for everyone in every army.
You know, taking a leap into another direction here, how did you get started with the Operators Union and the Facebook page and your endeavors from there?
This was kind of born, I would almost say, you know, out of nowhere. You know, I always loved the AKs, but I was thinking what else we can do to bring that love and spread that love for the rifle here in the United States. And I was talking a lot to Jim Fuller from Rifle Dynamics behind the scenes. You know, we kind of were messaging together. We were friends. And then one day I just made a decision. It's like, well, you know what, let's take that gig, put it online, and we'll see what's going to happen. And I remember when we got the first 1,000 likes, you know, followers registered to the page, and I was like, wow, this thing is getting big. And you have to remember, we only started at the end of the October, basically in November 2013. And now it's fast forward 2014, end of May, and you know, we got over 14,000 followers on the Facebook. So the things kind of are snowballing from now, and the union is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. We have created our YouTube channel too. We have a blog going on. So all these things are keeping me busy, my wife, Mrs. Ski, she's not very happy about it, but she's a great woman, and you know, she and our kids, they are very, you know, they're working with me, and my daughter, very often she's saying, you know, Dad, drop that phone, get off that Facebook, spend some time with me. And I'm like, honey, I really would love to play with you, you know, but let me finish that post, and here I go again, you know. So I'm trying to balance myself right now with everything and with the family time. It is difficult. I honestly, that was an understatement from my side. I didn't knew that this is going to cost me, you know, so much time and absorb me so much. But then again, you know, the union grows. I think we're spreading the love for the AK. I honestly, when I look at the United States and I look at what is happening right now, you know, how you know, you got all these great guys involved. You got the Jim Fuller, you got the Mark Krebs, you got the Chase Ziskold going on with the AK, some great manufacturers. I think so that the 2014, it is a year of AK in the United States. I think if you will compare the AK to the popularity of the AR or the M4 platform, I think so the AK is kind of 10 years behind the curve, behind the AR and M4s. And please remember, you know, what happened 10 years ago in the States. Of course, we had the assault weapons ban expired, right? And the other thing was that was the beginning, basically, of the war in Iraq, and people could see the all these, you know, at that time, mostly M16s and M4s coming in the news feeds, newsreels, and popularity of M4s just basically exploded. And I remember, you know, that was a very small company at that time, a Bravo company. They're out of Wisconsin. And I remember the web page, it was, you know, very small, tiny. And look how big Bravo company is today. To those who know, you know, who are fluent in the AR world, M4 world, and what happened over the last 10 years. Look at the MacPool. You know, nobody almost heard about the MacPool 10, 11 years ago. I mean, it's just the last decade, basically.
Yeah,
look how many new companies come to light thanks to popularity of the AR rifles or, you know, call it, I don't like to use that term because they are not really assault rifles, but let's say, you know, assault rifles. And I think so right now that the AK is exactly at that moment when the AR was 10 years ago. I mean, now is the time. Now is the really time to go and look what's happening in the AK world, because we got so many new things coming. Finally, thanks to the social media, we can see more what's happening in Russia or other, you know, Poland or Bulgaria, other countries which are using AKs, and we can see what these guys are doing with the AK rifles, how they're setting them up. So it's no longer that wood, but they have very sophisticated rail systems, and how they deploy the AK rifle, it's really amazing to watch and learn. It was even a learning curve for me from what I have been told, you know, 20, 25 years ago compared to what's happening right now. I mean, that's just amazing to watch.
I think you have a good point, Rob. It almost seems as if it's a circle effect, really. You know, the interest of the AK gets there. People look around. Companies see there's interest in this weapon platform. So, okay, let's make a stock for it or let's make a grip for it. Other people see, hey, look, there's more stuff out for my AK that's been sitting in my closet for a few years with just its wood stock on. I'll get a new grip and get a new butt stock and get some furniture for it. Then people start seeing, you know, oh, there's more and more stuff. Oh, wow, I want to get another AK. And then it just keeps snowballing and snowballing. And I think you're totally right about where the AK is right now versus where the AR platform was 10 years ago. The first rifle I bought on my own happened to be an AK. And that was back in 2004. And I remember being really disappointed because a lot of my friends had AR platforms and, you know, there was all getting into all the tactical stuff and it was like a Lego gun and I was kind of bummed out. Well, there's not really much for my gun, you know. Like you said, it's totally changed now.
The landscape changed completely. And, you know, we are getting to the point, like, almost every day there is something new and excited about the new parts coming out or someone designed something especially for the AKs. I'm extremely, extremely excited about it. And even at the shows, you know, it's so funny. I was just in April at the NRA show at Indy, and you could see all these, you know, AR manufacturers, and the people were kind of, you know, browsing their booths, okay, but you could see, you know, they were kind of bored. And then there was just these very few AK guys, and you couldn't make a way through it. You know, so this just tells you, too, this is another phenomena which I wasn't expecting. You know, almost every day I'm getting messages and the people are telling me, you know, thanks for you know, bringing the AK to me, and I'm falling in love, and I found something excited because my AR was sitting in the closet and I wasn't doing anything, and now I'm looking at your AKs and I want to have an AK. So they are like, I call them, you know, converts. They convert overnight, and they become to the AK family. And I welcome all my kids, you know, with the open arms.
Rob, would you like to talk a little bit about the union and where it's progressed since you first started? You know, what have you added new? What's in it now? I know you have. I'll let you talk about, I know you have, there's the store.
Yes.
What would you like to talk about that?
you know, at first my idea was to you know, I was thinking we'll gather the people and we'll have all the people, then we can ask some manufacturers for some discounts so they can buy cheaper accessories, ammo, and things like this. And we are running this program. It's called the Union Friendly Business Program, and we got some manufacturers. They post the coupon codes for our members so they can use these on whatever, you know, these guys are selling. I took it to the next step, too. I'm opening the store. Of course, we sell T-shirts and patches and stickers, but I want to start selling different accessories which I'm using. I'm not telling you, you know, you have to buy this flash hider. I'm not telling you have to buy this Marble Break. I'm just saying, hey, I'm using it. I like it. If you wanted to buy it, I negotiated a discount with these guys and for the union members. This is going to be a cheaper if you will go straight to the manufacturer. Mm. So this also helps to fuel to pay the bills for operating the union, for buying the equipment, for the videos, for paying for gas. Unfortunately, yep. This is America, and you got to pay for everything. And again, it keeps Mrs. Ski happy, too, because, you know, I don't dip all the time to the personal checking account, and she was getting really upset about it. So, you know, you have to keep your beautiful other happy, because if that's not working for you, then nothing works. taking this one step higher, we are shifting the gears. And in September, we're going to have two training classes with the real Special Forces Russian Spetsnaz operator. My friend is coming to United States, and we team up together with the Center T, Russian Center T, and we are offering two training classes in September. That will be September 6th and 7th, or September 13th and 14th. In Wisconsin. If you will go to our webpage address is very simple, akoul4774.com, which is AKO Operators Union Local 4774.com. Then you will get all the details on it, and you can register for the class. But we just want to show you, you know, we want to offer to people a training how to train, yeah. How to operate the AK, the way how the Russians are doing it, and what we can learn and exchange, you know, ideas, and what yep. we can do better.
I'm glad you brought up the classes, because I did want to ask you a little bit about those. Unfortunately, I don't have the funds or the time to go. I would love to go, but is your friend, is that Dima that you're talking
yes,
about?
Yes, Dima.
Okay. Now, are they coming over just specifically for this?
Yes, they're coming over specifically for this.
Really?
And it's going to, you know, we have a very short window of time because they are extremely busy. So they will be here, you know, my plan is we will do these two training classes. We want to go and visit Jim Fuller, too. In Vegas, but then Dima is going back to London because then he's got another classes in London. So he has a very busy schedule, but we'll try to do most of it. I want to make, when he will be here too, I want to film a videotape, some videos with him too. So we'll get not just the class, but, you know, a little bit more out of Dima because he's absolutely amazing. When I look at the Dima for me is like Chris Costa and Travis Kelly had a child, and he is that child.
Nice. So, with, by video recording, are you hinting that you want to do maybe a DVD of these first classes and release something?
This is the whole idea. You know, hopefully we'll get the whole filming crew coming with Dima because they do have a professional crew there. If that's going to happen, see, I do not have full resources to fund the DVD project because you want to deliver quality too. I just don't want to be this camcorder set up. You know, that's bullshit. Yeah. I want to have a real quality. You know, something what the people can really put up to the DVD and use it and learn from it. So the idea is maybe we'll have a whole filming crew coming here and we'll do this, you know, that's the idea. We want to do the DVD, training DVD.
Boy, that'll be excellent. You know, maybe, Seth, maybe we'll have to try and get Dima and Rob on here again.
Absolutely. And we're always looking for people to come on the show. It'd be an honor to have Rob back on the show and Dima to talk about their endeavors in the filming and whatnot.
Now, Dima posts on the Operators Union page on Facebook as well, doesn't he?
Yes. Dima is a part of the AK Operators Union. He's my good friend. I know Dima personally, and, he didn't want to – he was always active behind the scenes, but I was like, Dima, you got to help me. I cannot manage this, you know. That's it. I throw the towel. I'm done. So he said, okay, Rob, I will help you out. And he did, you know, and he's posting – he's working hard, too, you know, all these pictures and everything – I'm getting it's thanks to Dima and Dima Emrak too, because Dima, there is everyone who's working for the Center T, that's the Russian company which they operate, instructors, the rule number one is, in order to work for that company, your first name has to be Dima. if your first name is not Dimitri, then you cannot work for them. that's of course a joke, but both our Dima and the other Dima, and there is another Dima which is taking and pictures and filming. They are all great guys, and they really know their stuff. Dima is a trained combat instructor, and they train the Russian Spetsnaz, Russian Special Forces operators in shooting techniques, combat techniques. So they know what they're doing. It's a real deal. These guys are really good guys.
I really want to go to that class. Oh, you're killing me here.
it's a one in the lifetime opportunity. And as I said, we got only two events for now. Maybe we'll be back next year, but we'll see, because it's really hard, you know. First, this has to be successful for Dima, and if he will judge that this is not working out, he's not going to come back. As simple as this, because it is a lot of money. I mean, the guys behind the scenes and everything, just the air travel, you know, hotels and everything, that's cost a lot of money. At the end of the day, it's all about the money.
Oh yeah, definitely. So that's really exciting. I remember when I saw you put that post up, I was crazy excited about that. Now you on the store, you got all sorts of, like you mentioned before, you got t-shirts. I remember you had hoodies for a brief moment. Are you planning on bringing back hooded sweatshirts or anything like that again, or?
This probably before the winter season. I know it's we are at the beginning of the summer. We're already talking about the winter. But probably before the winter kicks in, we will have more items, like a clothing items in the store. I would love to have a hoodies or a sweater, something which you can put up, for the winter day and don't freeze your ass off. So that's absolutely on the map. And especially, this winter was absolutely brutal. I'm living in the Midwest, close to Chicago, and it was absolutely brutal. I don't know where they were talking about that global warming bullshit, but that wasn't a global warming for me. You know, the penguins were freaking migrating to Florida to warm up. So, and I have seen polar bears cruising through Chicago. So.
So, yeah, I see on your store, and I'm looking at it right now, you got everything from flash hiders to morale patches. Rob, would you like to talk about, I know you have a YouTube page as well where you do, accessory testing and weapon testing, and, you give your opinion on how certain things function. Would you like to talk about that for a little bit?
Yes, we started the YouTube channel, which was, kind of natural progression from going from Facebook and expanding a little bit more through the YouTube. We have, at this point, we got, almost 9,000 subscribers at the YouTube channel, but we started not that long ago, and we're putting more, action or spirit to it, and we want to grow this because this really gives us a great exposure. A lot of people are watching those videos, and we think that this is the best strategy to get to the more audience. I think so. YouTube is better even than the Facebook, because Facebook, you are always limited to maybe a few pictures, maybe a post,
yep.
where on the video you can really explain something, show it off, show more what's happening, and go in depth over the topic. So
yep.
We really will be paying more and more attention to the YouTube. And I know Dima just finished working on some badass video. We're going to have the PKM in it. They're driving Cadillacs. They're shooting.
Nice.
Oh, my God. Shit is hitting the fan. You know, the people are dying. No, they are not dying, but it's a high-speed video. So it looks really awesome. And they for sure, they you know, they brought the level up for me, and I don't know what I'm going to do now. I think I have to rent out some airplane, and, you know, I'll be jumping out of the airplane with the parachute and AKs in my hands to outdone them. But this just gives you the example that we really will be focusing more and more on the YouTube. So that's the way to go.
That's good to know. I know since I joined the union, I've been, union page, I've been watching your YouTube videos, and I gotta say, I really enjoy them, if only for the fact that it gives me, and I assume it does the same for other people, it gives somebody with an AK different views on something, or piques their interest on like a certain site or a certain rail configuration. Oh, hey, you know, I'd like to try that, see how that works for me, you know. I think that's really important when it comes to the AK platform, because like we were talking about earlier, you know, there's so many things coming out for the AK now. It's almost playing a hyperspeed catch up to the AR world. There's so much stuff pouring out for that weapon. I think it's great that you have a page where you get these things, and I'm assuming you take your own money and buy these products. Is that correct?
Yes, most of the time I'm spending my own funds. So, like, you know, you guys could see a lot of Zenit stuff, you know, Zenit rails,
yep.
dust covers. I paid for all of this. And this is not cheap, okay? So there are instances when I may receive some gear for the review. But I'm trying to balance it. Because every time when you take something, you know, you feel guilty about it, right? So can you be fair, you know, to some point? Probably yes. Let me tell you this. Every time when I hear the term used by the YouTube guys who are reviewing a gear and they say, oh, it's a great wrench item, that means it's a piece of shit. Run from it. Because if it's good only for the wrench, that's a polite way of saying, oh, my God, this just stinks, right? You cannot use it. So that's the inside tip. Other than this, you know, I'm open to accepting the item for the review, but I'm always reserving a clause. You know, it's like, look, if I'll find that something is not right with it, I'll post. And I have a great relationship with the Century Arms, for example, and you know, we're using a lot of Red Army standard ammo, but when I purchased, I actually purchased that C-39 rifle, and I had a lemon. I believe that you know, line has a great chance, and a lot of people are happy with it. But for me, I had a lemon, and I posted. You know, I was, you know, I pointed out what is. I wasn't completely bashing out or you know, dropping a bomb on it, but I said, look, this works, this doesn't. And so I'm trying to be, you know, as fair as possible. It is always a balancing act. But as of right now, I buy most of my equipment.
Like you said, I did see that your review of the C-39 there, which I did like. I did enjoy. I do agree that they're doing a good job with that weapon of trying to progress the design of the AK, I think, with just the little things that they've added to it. But I really like how you gear everything towards, and I want to use this word loosely because, you know, we're talking, and this is mostly civilians who are watching this, you know, people who have AKs in their houses and stuff. You gear everything towards a combat situation, and I don't mean combat as in, you know, we're all in camo running around throwing grenades and whatnot, but, you know, a combat situation could be, you know, like you were saying,
yeah,
before, the zombie apocalypse.
That's exactly
stuff.
What I'm trying to do, and I'm happy that you can see this. And, you know, I always wear a plate carrier with plates, with actual
yep.
plates, because some guys are putting those training plates, which are, you know, maybe 3 pounds, and that's it. No, I have always on me the full combat load, because I'm coming out with the point, you know, if I'm expecting you to do something, I want you to see me doing it first. You
yes.
know, if I'm telling you, you should go drop to the knee, you know, go to the prone with the best. I wanted to do it this in the best, because I
yep.
see a lot of guys on the YouTube. You know, they are wearing these beautiful jackets only, and you know, high speed pants, but they have nothing on them. And yes, they move like freaking ninjas. They jump, you know, they do the 360s. Jesus Christ. And I'm like, this is fucking stupid. You can't do this, because, you know, there is no way you can do this
yeah.
wearing the full body armor, helmet, you know, backpack, God knows what else, right?
Yep.
So,
yep.
And I'm, my vision, too, and you will see this more and more in the videos, too. I love the competition world, because we have learned so much from the competition world over the years. In competitions.
Yep.
However, there are some things which you cannot use in the real situations, because it's impossible. I would always go to that scorpion grip or C-clamp grip. I
God,
see people
yeah.
right now reaching out so far away that they are almost covering the muzzle with
yep.
with their hand. You know, this is getting totally out of the control, guys.
it's funny that you bring up the C-clamp, because I find it abhorribly uncomfortable. I cannot shoot like that. I'm the type of person to shoot my AK, I always grab the mag. You know, I'm one holds up right on the mag. I'm high and tight with my AK, and that's perfectly comfortable for me. I just cannot do that crazy all the way up front.
See, and this is another point. It's like people do not understand the difference between the AK and M4. You have all that weight from AK. You have the piston on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Front post, the gas block, all way up there up
yeah.
front. So it is more way up front compared
yeah.
to the AR or M4. So, you know, you have to be really wary of the situation, and I'm not
yep.
saying do not use the C-clamp grip on AK. No, I'm using it too. It's like even in that video which I posted today, the opening scene, you could see me standing, you know, and engaging a target rapidly, mm-hmm. and I was using a modified C-clamp grip, because it provides me an outstanding control of the muzzle. You know, but you have to be, you know, like Travis Haley is saying, thinkers before shooters. So there are situations where you can use it, and there are situations where I prefer to go with the Magwell grip. Because the
yep.
Magwell grip, if I'm patrolling the woods, if I'm going on a long patrol, I'm not going to keep running around with my hand extended to the end, you know, covering the muzzle brake and always ready and, you know, looking, scanning for the target. That's just stupid.
Your arms
that's,
gonna
not
fall
how
off.
That's not how you go and patrol the woods. So, you know, and we'll be bringing this more. It's like kind of bringing the reality touch to the videos, because my mm-hmm. goal, too, is, guys, I want to test that knowledge which I have learned hard way, you know, sometimes going with my head, you know, in a low crawl position and eating the sand. And I want to bring this to you. So you never know what's going to happen. You always have to be ready for the worst. And if nothing's going to happen, great. I mean, fine. We all had fun, you know, high fives.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
But if something will happen, I want you to have at least some basic understanding of what's happening. This is the thing which, you know, I sound horribly right now, because I'm taking on some of these YouTube guys. But I see people, you know, blasting these targets, beating the records, you know, timing themselves, high fives, you know, hey, we got, you know, 0.7 second, 100 shots, you know, look at all these paper holes. Awesome. There is a one big difference. The paper doesn't shoot back.
That's right.
You know? So
yep.
it is, yes, you should be working on the speed. Yes, you should be working on accuracy. But also think about what you're doing. Think about the settings. And it's not so beautiful and easy. This is not the Call of Duty. In real life, there is no respawn button, you know? There is no timer sound. When the real bullets are flying, it's a different situation, and you have to be aware of what's happening. There is no respawn button, as I said. You know, it's not the Xbox.
But yeah, you're right, and like I said, I like that you gear your videos towards, you know, almost torture testing, which you do some of the products. And, you know, what's the point of having something on your rifle? It's not going to function properly under extreme circumstances doing the job that it's meant to do. I remember over the winter you had a video, you were testing, I believe it was a rail, side mount rail, and you had your EOTech sight on it, and you were doing push-ups on top of the EOTech in the snow and the dirt and everything. And I thought that was great because, I mean, that would pretty much simulate you tripping and falling on top of that weapon, you know, and crushing
and
your sight into the ground.
It's funny you bring that point, because I remember, you know, some guys were poking fun at me, and they were saying, "Well, you should do the AK push-ups on a magazine." And I'm like, "You stupid fuck! I mean, how this put the pressure on the optic or the optic mount? I mean, don't you people even listen what I'm saying? This is especially I flip it over the rifle because I want to put as much weight and pressure as I can. I mean, so you got sometimes, you know, crazy people going on." That's the bad thing about the YouTube, man. Everyone is an expert, but that comes with the territory. But I will tell you one thing: you will never hear from me that I am an expert. If I hear someone saying, you know, I'm an expert, I run away from that guy as far as I can, because I know that he's a fool of shit. And I want to be near close to that guy, so you will never hear from me. I am an expert. I'm still learning, guys. The one thing, you know, I'm 40 years old, and I'm still learning. Mm. And I probably, you know, if I will live another 40, why not? Hey, as long as I don't have to use the diaper, I would say, you know, I will be always learning, always looking for the new ways to improve my technique and to gain more knowledge. You have to keep that brain open and always look for something new.
Most definitely, most definitely. But on a side note, you know, that could be, you should think of that for another product. You know, AK Operators Union diapers.
Yes, for the operators who don't shit themselves, but just in case. you know, all joking aside, the new groin protector, which was developed by some morons in the lab who never wear in the field, it actually looks like a diaper. I don't know what these guys were thinking.
hey, Rob, would you be interested in taking a phone call from a caller?
Yes, go ahead.
Alrighty here, let's bring him on in. Area code 860, you're on air with Seth, Ian, and Rob Ski.
Hi, how's it going? My name's Johnny. I'm actually a friend of Ian's here. Rob, I'd just like to start out by saying big fan of your YouTube channel. You're doing great things.
Hey, thank you very much, and it's great to hear the feedback from you guys. Speaking about that, that was a touching moment to me when I was walking on the floor of the NRA show to see people wearing actually AK Operators Union t-shirts. And I'm like, wow, we made it. And then, you know, the last 2 weeks ago, our t-shirt actually was featured on the Guns, Sons of Guns show too. Vince Knuckles was wearing it. And I'm like, you know, watching on the big TV, seeing the people wearing our t-shirts, supporting the union that way, that's a feedback too. And I'm always saying this, guys, the union wouldn't exist without you. I mean, thanks to all of you for following us and for supporting us. And you are the reason why we created it, but also we couldn't exist without you. So big thanks to all the fans.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. I mean, one of the questions I had to ask is, you know, I definitely fully support the AK Operators Union, but one of the sad truths is I'm unable to own an AK by name in my state, which is a great shame.
It's, you know what, you don't want to get me started on the politics.
Right.
Guys, I will tell you this. As I said it at the beginning of the show, I was born and raised under the communism. And there is a reason why I immigrated to the United States. And I love this country. And I wear the uniform to protect this country. And I'm ready to take a bullet for this country. But what's happening in the last, you know, years, and I'm not going to use any names, but what's happening, it's a heartbreaking. This is something which I was never expecting to see in the United States. And, you know, guys, socialism works great on the paper. When you read it in a book, awesome, okay? But when it comes to reality, it's a train wreck. And I just hope so that people will wake up, snap out of it, and remember, in November we have elections. Think about who you're voting for and do your homework. And remember, you know, it is about the future. And let's not make any more mistakes, okay?
Yeah, definitely. And like I am a combat veteran, and the first time I really encountered any AKs were in Iraq, and
you were on the receiving end. You were on the receiving end. I'm sorry, my friend, but
no,
you should be like, hey, that's awesome, man. What you shooting? A Type 1 or Type 2?
Yeah, exactly. And that was the first time I had an opportunity to shoot an AK, and I absolutely love them, and Russian weapons definitely have a huge place in my heart. Like, I've obviously used an M4 for, quite a while when I was in the army, but, I'm just a sucker for Russian weapons, and I was wondering, considering I can't own an AK, would you say that an SKS, which is available for me, would that be a viable option instead of an AK? 74 or 47?
You know, yes, the SKS will give you some flavor to taste, and it is an excellent rifle. You remember SKS was largely used too, and it works great. However, I would say, can you get like a hunting Saiga at least?
I think I am able to get like a hunting Sega, without the pistol grip there.
Wow.
I guess it's
What state you are from?
I'm actually in Connecticut right now. It's one of the worst states possibly you could live in for owning firearms. But but one thing that I was able to purchase was a Mosin, and I can tell you, I've absolutely fallen in love with that rifle.
Yeah, the Mosin Nagant, these are an absolutely lovely rifles. You have to remember, that was almost a working horse for many, many armies during the World War II, or different variants of Mosin. So it's an excellent rifle. You know, look, I'm sorry. You know, I feel sorry for you that you have to go through what you guys are going through, especially, you are a vet, and you fought for these rights, and they are kind of limited right now for you because of X1 maniac, what happened there. I don't know what to tell you, man. Yeah, I'll definitely go for the SKS too, to have something more, because the Mosin is cool, but you want to have some fun, and the SKS will give you a little bit more. Probably the best option would be to move out from the state, man.
Oh, yeah,
I'm trying
definitely.
To get Johnny up here.
Yeah,
as much as I hate to say this, but because it will be only worse there, unless the people will do something about it. But, in some states, you don't have a people anymore. You got really a walking zombies. They have no brain. So it is heartbreaking, as I said. And, even in my state, I'm in Illinois. But we are away from Chicago, so, you know, we kind of disown Chicago and all that stupidity with it. You know, once you pass away from Cook County, it's a normal state. You know, it is what it is today.
Yeah, I've heard a few nicknames for Chicago there, such as Chirac. So, you know, there's definitely some things going on there.
You know, it's almost... I was almost like, I want to offer the classes how to handle the firearms for these gangsta wannabes, because they kill all the people who are only, you know, bystanders or innocent, witnesses, and they never manage to kill each other. So I want to, you know, it's like, hey, guys, I will train you, okay, so you don't have to kill kids on the street. It's like, let me do this so they can kill each other, and then we can move on. But
yeah,
what is happening right now in Chicago is atrocity. It's a complete failure of the local government as well, and what they do. And, you know, I always laugh myself when I hear that the guns kill people. No, you morons, the guns don't kill people. The people do kill people. There is someone pulling the trigger behind that gun.
Mm-hmm.
Another big thing you got going on, you know, you see, because right now we are finally concealed carry. We have a concealed carry in our state. And you see that these stickers with the Bennett gun on it, right, all over the place. So you cannot walk into the building which has that with the Bennett gun. And I'm like, well, how well is that working? Do you think that the bad guy will have a force field created by that sticker, and he's going to stop at that door? He's going to bounce back from that door? If that sticker is working so well, why not to put it on the highway, on entering the highway, sign no DUI? Maybe this will work too. I mean, you know, to understand those people who are coming up with ideas like this, you have to be a Nobel Prize winner, because I don't know what they are thinking. I mean, if I'm crazy, then they live in the la-la land, you know. It's absolutely, I don't know.
I totally agree with you, Rob. You couldn't be any more right. But, you know, Johnny, I'll talk to you later, man, but thank you so much for calling in, dude. I'm glad you did.
Yeah, thanks a lot. And, Rob, yeah, thanks again, and keep doing what you're doing. It's excellent.
No problem, guys.
All right, sure. Bye-bye.
Seth,
all right,
I was just thinking, because of Rob's background, I wonder if it'd be a cool thing to get him to come on at another time. And if he doesn't mind talking about politics a little more, our politics versus what he grew up in. And I always like hearing, you know, people who've lived in other countries and emigrated here, you know, hearing their thoughts on the situations that we're going through right now. Do you think that'd be something you would like to do, Rob?
Yeah, absolutely. We can talk politics too. Let's see, you know, we work this behind the scenes for the next show, because I'll give you the perspective, and this is going to be a straight talk, no bullshit, no pushing to one side or the other. I will tell you how it was when I was little and what we had to go through when we were living in this quote socialistic paradise unquote.
Mm.
You know, and this is basically what we're going through right now. Everyone wants to live in that socialistic paradise. Well, there is a steep price to pay for it, people. So the free ride at some point will be over. And you're either going to wake up or will fall down into the abyss and disappear, because there is no other alternative. You know, there is only so much money you can print out and drop on something. Without working it. But that's a totally different discussion.
Ian, one of the things I get to rub in your face is I live right here in Iowa, Rob, so maybe I can come do some shooting with you sometime.
No problem. We can work this out. And that will be a pleasure too. As I said, and the Wisconsin is not that far away. Maybe we'll come for the class too.
Yeah, Seth has no experience with the AK, so
I don't. Yeah. I've raided Iraq homes. I was over in Iraq twice. I've held an AK, but I've never shot an AK.
then you know what, we'll teach you. It's and Wisconsin is a perfect place. You know, it's like the movie Stars and Stripes. It's going in and out to Wisconsin. It's no big deal.
You just got a promotion, Seth, too, so you're going to have extra money coming in. You can buy the class and go.
There you go. Spent on the union. This is the only one union which gives back.
Well,
it was a pleasure talking to you, but as I said at the beginning, family time demands right now.
Yep.
So, absolutely. If you want to give a shout out to your page and your website and your YouTube channel one last time for you.
Absolutely. So on the Facebook page, we are under the AK Operators Union. So you got the www.facebook.com/AK Operators Union. That's it. That's our Facebook page. Our website is like a media hub. You can go everywhere from that website. You will see the links to our Facebook, to our blog, and to our YouTube channel. This is probably the easier to memorize. It is AKOUL4774.com. One more time, AKOUL4774.com. Okay? And finally, the YouTube channel. Under the YouTube channel, we are exactly under the same name. It's youtube.com/AKOperatorsUnion. One word.
Awesome. I appreciate you coming on tonight, Rob. And I appreciate Ian, you coming on and filling in for Jerry tonight as well.
Thanks. Rob, I'm virtually shaking your hand right now. So.
Thank you, guys. It was a pleasure talking to you. And, let me know, and one day we can talk, one night we can talk about the politics. That's going to be
awesome.
Epic. All right. Thank you, guys. Have a great night. Thanks.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
You too, Rob. Thank you. Well, Ian, it was definitely an honor having him on. I appreciate you having him come on there or giving me the lead for him. It was. I hope you enjoyed it because it was something you
I
wanted.
Had an awesome time. Rob's hardcore.
Well, I guess it's going to be that time. We're going to end the show like we always end the show. You know, Madison Rising. I know you're a fan of Madison Rising, so. But I might have to send Rob a message about that organization we were talking about before the show.
Sure. hey, you know what? Knowledge is power, so the more he knows, the better. He might have even have heard of him already. Who knows? But, hey. Thanks for. I didn't realize Jerry didn't have to work. So, but anytime you need me to fill in, I'm more than happy to. Especially when Rob's on. Love that guy. He's friggin' awesome.
Since I got you on the show, did you actually get to listen to the shows that we did with the Naked and Afraid guys? Or
I didn't know. I was out both times.
Well, you can always listen to the archives, man.
That's right. I know. I need to.
Yeah, you do.
Need to get another cosplayer on. I'd like to listen to that.
Yeah, I'll see what I can do. I will see what I can do. So, anyways, I'm going to go ahead and end the show with Madison Rising, Star Sprinkled Banner. Good night, everyone.
Good night, guys.
Bye. the bridge.